What a wonderful season of worship we've had this morning. It's been a great time to be in the Lord's house today, hasn't it? You know, there are some ugly words in this world. I thought about some of the ugly words the other day. Unwanted, unnecessary, rejected, overdrawn, speeding ticket. And just this morning, I thought about one of the ugly words from my growing up years that I don't ever want to hear again. Are you ready? Calf liver. What an ugly, ugly word. But you know, of all the ugly words in the world, none of them come close to the ugliness of one particular word. And that word is this: dead. Dead. It is the ugliest word in the human language. Dead. We go to great lengths to avoid using that term. We'll say gone away. We will say passed on. We will say dearly departed. But we don't like to talk about anybody and say they are dead. Because no matter how you dress it up, dead still means dead. And I'm here to tell you this morning that following the crucifixion, Jesus was dead. He was stone cold dead. He carried our sins to the tree and he died there. And it's critically important that we believe that, because that matters more than anything that's ever happened in this world. That the one who died is the one who rose. Sometimes we affirm the truth of Christ's death and the way that we believe the news of something that happened a long time ago and far away. You know what I mean? We say, yeah, when Jesus was crucified, he died, but we think of it as just kind of a fact that you mention or a doctrine that you believe. And the honest truth is, you really don't talk about it as though it really matters to me. That happened a long time ago. That happened a long way from here. What does that really have to do with my life? And the truth is, there is nothing, nothing that matters more. It's critical that you understand Jesus was dead, because throughout history, death has always been the great equalizer. It comes for the great and the small. It claims the wise and the foolish. It clutches the good and the bad equally. The truth is, in the world in which we live, death is the ultimate source of despair. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how you've lived, sooner or later, your time is going to come. It may come to you when you're young, it may come to you when you're old, but sooner or later, it's coming, and it's coming for every one of us. And every accomplishment pales to insignificance in the presence of death. It leaves every claim to fame in the dust. Doesn't matter how rich or famous or powerful you are, death is going to claim you, and there's nothing you could do about it. It's important to remember that, because for the women who came to the garden tomb on that first Easter morning, death had won the day. When they made their way to that tomb, you know that tomb on the front of your bulletin this morning, that's the tomb. That's the tomb. And when they came, you know what they expected to encounter? Death. Death. There's nothing they could do. They had heard Jesus declare, "It is finished." They'd watched the Lord take his last shuddering breath on the cross. They had watched as a soldier had pierced his side with a spear. They had followed Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus as they placed his body in that grave. Everything was over. Evil had claimed the victory. Christ, the victim, was buried in a tomb behind a rock. As the day began, they made their way to that tomb so they could anoint his body as one last tribute of love. And then they were going to have to find a way to live in a world where all hope had died. Death had won the day. Luke tells us they were not prepared for what they would encounter when they arrived at the tomb. Two mighty messengers from God, clothed in shining garments, a stone that was rolled away, and a message that changed everything. It began with a question they couldn't understand. Why do you look for the living among the dead? What did that question mean? Jesus was not living, he was dead. They had seen him crucified. They'd watched the blood flow. They were witnesses as his body had been taken down. How could these angels believe Jesus was living? But it was followed with a statement. He is not here. Well, the angels, the women knew what the angels were telling them was true. They had already been inside the tomb. They had touched the abandoned grave clothes. They knew he wasn't here. It was obvious somebody had done something with the body of Jesus. Would these messengers tell them where to look or who to ask in order to find Christ's corpse? Could somebody point them in the right direction to do what they had come to do so that they could be finished with this ugly matter of death? They simply weren't prepared for the message that the angels had come to deliver, because it was the greatest news the world had ever heard. He is not here. He is risen. Isn't that what Jonathan led us in proclaiming today? He is risen. Have you ever been so surprised, so shocked, that for a minute you're paralyzed, body and soul? Someone says something to you and it is so shocking and so unexpected that you just kind of freeze. And you don't know what to do next. If that's ever happened to you, then you can identify with these women who came to the tomb. At first, they were stunned with the idea that Christ was risen. Then the messengers began to talk to them and remind them this is exactly what was supposed to take place. And they reminded them of the things that Jesus had promised before his crucifixion. And they remembered he had told them he would be arrested and he would be condemned, but he would rise on the third day. And as they remembered, it was as if the sun rose, not on the garden tomb, but in their hearts and in their lives. Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. This is exactly what he told them was going to happen. All the way in, remember Luke chapter 9, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. All along the way, he talked to them about what was going to happen when they arrived. And they had seen it take place just the way Jesus had promised. And then the time came when he was crucified and dead and rose again, just like he had promised. If there's any great challenge in our lives, it is simply this: to take the Lord at his word. To take the Lord at his word. So many times in our lives, we're tempted to do anything but. We hear what the Lord has said to us. We understand his promises, but then we begin to use our own wisdom and our own minds, and we decide for ourselves, well, maybe what the Lord says is not what really happened. Maybe it's not the way God promised us it was going to be. But you know what? It is. It is. It's exactly what he promised. And those ladies stood before a tomb, and they heard the words, and they remembered the promises, and they realized it's true. And if anything can change your life, it is that realization. It's true. It's not a story about a long time ago. It's not a tale about what happened to Jesus of Nazareth long ago. It's about the fact that the one who died and rose again is still the living God yet today. The only Son of God did what nobody else had ever done or ever would be able to do. He took death by the throat and he threw it down at his feet. And he took all of its power away. And he replaced death with eternal life. Jesus had risen. Through his actions, he broke death's grip on anyone who will believe. We don't have to live in dread anymore. There's no need for despair. We are freed from the grip of sin and corruption. Because of the empty tomb, we live in the power of the living God. Resurrection is not just about once a year. Resurrection is not about what happened so long ago at that empty tomb. Resurrection is still God's promise today and every day. You're here this morning. We're so glad you're here. Members, friends, visitors, family. I'm so glad you're here. But the truth is, you know what? I don't know what's going on in your heart this morning. I really don't know what was happening in your life yesterday as you prepared to come. You may be here this morning and you've been looking everywhere for some sort of purpose in your life. You sought peace in so many ways, acquiring things, seeking recognition, searching out new experiences. But the truth is, when things get quiet, you recognize something's missing in your life. It's just not there. And that thing that is missing is hope, peace, assurance. I know that I know that I know that I have a relationship with Christ Jesus, the risen Savior. Others may be here this morning and you're hurting deep inside. Things have been going on in your life that you can't explain. Sometimes it's because of what someone else has done to you. Some other times it's because of things you've done to yourself. Everything you've tried has done nothing to take the pain away. Or you're discouraged by all of the obstacles and failures in your life. I have good news for you. You can't do it without the living Christ. But you can do it through him. You see, without the living Jesus, you're looking in the wrong place. Why do you look for the living among the dead? The question is, why are you looking everywhere else except at Christ? You're never going to find what you're looking for anywhere that doesn't begin at an empty tomb. It's just not there. And everything else you're trying and every other answer you've tried to find, it's not going to work. It might work for a little while, but it's not going to work for long because there's only one eternal answer. And it's found in the risen Jesus. And without the risen Jesus, you've been trusting the wrong promises. They said, he is not here. Don't look at others to give you answers you need. Don't trust your own accomplishments to bring you peace and give you joy. As long as you trust yourself or anybody else, you're going to remain spiritually dead and separated from eternal life. Life apart from him will always lead to death. There is no other path that leads to hope. And on this Resurrection Sunday, I challenge you, remember who he is. remember what he's done for you. Put your hope in the risen Jesus. Today and every day, he invites you to share his victory over sin and death. He is God's one and only answer for a lost world. But more than a lost world, every lost soul. Jesus, the victor, offers eternal life to those who will trust the message of an empty tomb and a risen Lord. So I guess my question for you this morning is a very simple one. And that is simply this: where do you find your hope? Where are you turning to find someone who can give you the peace that you're looking for, the assurance, and that sense of being in a real relationship with a living Christ? Where are you turning? Because if you're turning anywhere except to the Jesus of the empty tomb, then you're looking in the wrong place and you're never going to find the answers that you need. And maybe today you're here and the honest truth is you don't know Jesus. Oh, you may know about him. You may have heard all the stories, but you don't know him, not in a real and personal way. And maybe today is a day when you're sitting right where you are and you are praying for God to give you hope. Maybe today's the day you need to trust Jesus. Or maybe today is the day when you recognize, I've been trying to find my answers in all the wrong places. As a believer, I've been looking at other places, and I know all I really need to do is look to Christ. Maybe today is a day when you need to come back to him. Or maybe today is a day when you need to come and be part of what God is doing here. God's calling you to be a part of First Baptist Church. So put your membership here and plant your life here. And grow in Christ here and follow him here. Or maybe there's another decision you need to make. Just a moment, we're going to stand, we're going to sing an invitation hymn. I'm going to be here at the front if you would like to come to know Christ. Or if there's a decision you need to make, you come. Let's stand together. Let's sing. A good day in God's house. I'm glad we got to share this time. And I want to share a story with you before I leave. It just wasn't appropriate for the message, okay? When Rich was handing out those plastic eggs a little while ago, it took me all the way back to when I was youth minister at First Baptist in Clanton, and I did the same thing one Easter Sunday. Now, you need to understand, Clanton was a sanctuary much like ours in the fact that it had an angle to it just like ours does, but they had hardwood floors under the pews and carpet runners in the side, and I gave away jelly beans with strict instructions: do not open these until church is over. And we got to our Easter Sunday message, and all through Dr. Marshall's message you would hear blap, blap, all the way to the front. And every time it happened, he would just kind of look at me. And I would think, I enjoyed being on staff here because I know my time is done. So I'm glad we have carpet. And there's no moral to that story other than it struck a memory. I hope you have a wonderful Easter afternoon. We have celebrated the resurrected Christ in so many powerful ways. Thank you so much for the worship. Thank you for our choir and the leadership they provided to our handbells. Would you just join me in thanking these folks who have done such a great job for us? And I think that goes for the eggs too, Rich. So let's bow together. Let's have one final prayer, and then we'll close with our last song. Father, we do thank you that we live in the presence of a living Jesus. We thank you that he is not here. He is risen, and we get to experience him for ourselves when we trust him and every day. Father, bless us as we go from this place and help us as we celebrate the risen Christ with friends and family and those who will be gathered in our homes. Lord, bless this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.